Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back. It is week 10. The Fighting Haynes Kings showed up and showed out against Syracuse. BYU remains unbeaten, and Diego Pavia is leading Vanderbilt through the SEC like he is on a mission. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable, or if you prefer, you can still call it Ring Knock Radio. I'm your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Ikebesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and Triggered Joe from the home of the Big House. We're going to change it up a little bit today. I'm going to talk about the games that I watched, pass it over to Joe, and then over to Dan. So, hey, with no Army action this week, it was pretty easy to watch a lot of college football. I was able to watch Georgia Tech roll into there. Like, hey, man, Haynes King is good. Like, I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but that guy is like the very throwback, like, middle 90s running passing quarterback. Like, he's going to get you at least one on the ground and probably two in the air, or the opposite of that.
You might have heard the show and heard that you picked Syracuse to cover 16 and a half.
Yeah, like, yes. we'll talk about that later, right? I also have to say, like, you know, I'm starting to appreciate early week college football. You know, Maction last year was good on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, and weekday Conference USA is not so bad either. I think they're getting some really good teams in there. Kennesaw State is actually pretty doggone good. Yeah. North Texas, hey, you know what? Like, Navy might be on upset alert this week. Mm. And Virginia Tech pulled off a close one against Cal, and that was a great game. If you watch Virginia Tech and Cal, you got your money's worth for sure, unless you are a heart patient. Texas A&M is still unbeaten, and you know, great second half against LSU, and how did Oregon not totally blow out Wisconsin? You know, they beat them by a couple scores, but I was expecting that to be like an avalanche of points, which certainly did not happen. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I actually started my morning off with the veteran Trash Talk crew doing the podcast about UFC and NFL, and then because the card was in Abu Dhabi and on at 10 a.m. Eastern, I was watching the UFC before any football for once. And then I was subjected to the most disappointing main event ever, eye poke. I digress. I watched a lot of Texas A&M dismantling LSU in the second half and Brian Kelly's career. I, of course, watched Michigan State, and, you know, they had to remind them who little brother is in the state of Michigan, and they did that. That game was never in doubt. I also watched some of that incredible meltdown by South Carolina, to let Alabama come back and win that game by a score. I was absolutely stunned at the finish. But all in all, great day for college football.
Yeah, sure. Dan, how about you?
I watched a ton of American Conference action this week, and with Army in the conference, I feel like that happens a lot. We talked a lot about that on the show, so I'm not going to reiterate that. I'll assume if you're watching this show, you probably also watched that one. But for now, that G5 playoff spot and the American Conference generally remains wide open. I think five teams have a legitimate shot at it. I also watched Mizzou at Vandy. Dude, how is Vandy going to make the college football playoff? Like, that is insane. That's the kind of thing that would have made my grandfather's head explode. Bama at South Carolina also turned into a really interesting game, which surprised me. And I was very surprised to see North Carolina take Virginia to overtime. Had that one on. Kind of hard to keep an eye on it when, you know, Memphis goes into track meet mode at against USF.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Speaking of overtime, we got somebody that will work overtime for you to help you find your next home. So if you've listened to the show at all, you know that we have a sponsor here by the name of Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a realtor here in the Fort Bragg area. If you're PCSing here, she is the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a member of the Long Gray Line, a class of 2010. She served as an Army logistics officer, where she honed her passion for impacting people's lives. Now as a dedicated realtor, she brings the same commitment to you when you're finding your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional personalized service, ensures a seamless home buying experience that's tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, Jocelyn has an extensive network of veteran realtors that is across the country, and no matter where your PCS is, she can help you find somebody that you can trust at no cost, connecting you with a professional of integrity in your local market. As a proud supporter of Astro Football, Jocelyn is a realtor you can trust to guide you to your next home. Reach out to her today and let her make your next move effortless. On to you, Dano, for the Service Academy standings. Thanks.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, Army is 3-4, had a bye week. We previewed the big game Army at Air Force on the As for Football Army football show last night. If you have not checked that out, go listen to it. The show should be dropping any minute now on all of the various platforms. Navy remains unbeaten at 7-0 for the first time since the 1970s. They put up 21 points in the fourth quarter against FAU. Rob says that they had some pretty creative wrinkles to close out a tougher contest than he expected. I don't know, man. I sort of thought they were going to roll FAU. FAU's quarterback, what's his name? Caden Vanderberg. I wasn't super impressed. He's a gunslinger, but he needed to be a little bit more precise. And finally, Air Force is 2-5. They also had a bye week prepping for the second leg of that CIC trophy. We shall see what they look like this Saturday. Coast Guard Academy ups their record to 6-1 after beating Norwich 59-28. They take on Salve Regina this weekend. And finally, the Merchant Marine Academy is 5-2 after taking a tough loss to Springfield 35-7. They take on Worcester Polytechnic Institute on Senior Day at Kings Point this weekend.
Thanks, Dano. And it's time to move on to our awards of the week. Let's find out who lives in the realm of college football infamy.
Look, it's the Blue Falcon.
We have a familiar face entering the halls of the Blue Falcon this week. It's kind of like my late grandfather used to say, though, when everybody at the party says you're the a-hole, they can't all be wrong. Some guys are just going to Blue Falcon no matter where they're at. And let me paint the picture for you. On Saturday, Texas A&M went into Death Valley to play the LSU Tigers and were favored to win. But Death Valley on the road is a huge ask for any team and usually one of the hardest places to win. At halftime, the LSU, who entered the game as dogs on their home field, were up 18-14. And I can only imagine what their locker room looked like at halftime. But nevertheless, that is the time your head coach earns his pay. You pay top dollar for great coaches because that is the time their superior football knowledge takes over, makes adjustments, talks to his team about finishing this game the way they started it, and really rallies the troops to get the best effort out of them for the next two quarters. So instead, two quarters, Brian Kelly's LSU Tigers proceeded to give up 35 unanswered points and turn the game into a blowout loss. There is no way with that amount of talent that he's getting the best out of those guys. And for those reasons and what we saw on Saturday, Brian Kelly, you are this week's Blue Falcon, and also you're fired.
Yeah, that coaching carousel.
Respectfully.
Yeah, the coaching carousel is pretty brutal. Like, I'm surprised Coach O hasn't come back, man. Like, he left in disgrace, and, like, when is he going to get an opportunity to coach college football again? Because, like, right, wrong, or indifferent, the guy's
it is pretty bad when you can have, like, the Heisman winner 2 years ago and be fired, or have two playoff wins last year and be fired mid-season.
Like, it's like crazy, man. Crazy,
ruthless.
I gotta say, I'm waiting for Ogeron to come back too. I mean, he didn't get fired for football reasons at all. And in the new world, you would think people would just blow that shit off. But what can you do?
Yeah, for sure. Now, moving on to the person that needs a pat on the back.
I drank a beer.
Yeah, this week was a tougher one to pick than usual. Had many performances to choose from, but I think I made the right choice. I've stated before the competition level is considered in choosing this award. And for that reason, I think we're going to stick in Death Valley and how tough of a place that is to play historically. Of course, when told this, sophomore Marcel Reed from Nashville, Tennessee, and phenom quarterback for Texas A&M said, "Hold my beer, watch this." And after he threw for 200 yards and two tutties, then ran for over 100 and two more tutties, smashing LSU 49-25. I hope he finished said beer because he earned it. Just an incredible performance on a big stage, and Marcel Reed is quietly having a season that might get him invited to New York at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's 100% true. And like you said, he's got some NFL talent though, man. KC Conceptual, and that dude is legit wide receiver. And you know, who would have thought, like, getting Mike Elko from Duke would have made that big of a difference at Texas A&M? But when you think about it, there's money in Texas, you know, as far as NIL is concerned. So maybe he was the piece that was missing.
Sure. Who'd have thought Cignetti would come into Indiana and do what he did? I mean,
yeah, that's true.
A clear cut top three team in the country.
Yeah, 100%. So speaking of top three teams in the country, we'll go to the top 10. Joe, run it down for us. Thanks.
All right. Usual suspect at number one. They've been here all season. Ohio State, no change. The Buckeyes stay the top of everybody else in the country on their off week. They have Penn State coming to town, where Ohio State is a 3-touchdown favorite. And number two, we got the Indiana Hoosiers. Kurt Cignetti likes to make statements against good teams, and boy, did Indiana do that in a 56-6 rout of UCLA. The Hoosiers traveled to Maryland this week, where they are also 3-touchdown favorite. I did say UCLA come crashing back down to earth, and I didn't think it'd be that bad, though. At number three, the team we just talked about, Texas A&M, no change for the Aggies as they stay in the three spot after ending Brian Kelly's career at LSU, 49-25. Texas A&M smashes the Tigers and are making their case for one of the best teams in the country. I actually don't have their game in here, and I think they're off next week. But I could be wrong on that. I'll double check it. At number four, we got Bama. No change. The Tide pull off a miracle comeback to stay up at number four in a South Carolina meltdown. Alabama 29-22. They are off this week. At number five, we got Georgia. No change for the Bulldogs. They stay put at number five in their off week, and they travel to the Swamp to play Florida, where they are 7.5-point favorites. At six, we got Oregon. No change either. There's been no change through the top six. Oregon may not have looked their best, but came away with a 21-7 victory over Wisconsin, who just looks lost. The Ducks are off on Saturday. At number seven, we have Ole Miss. They bump up a spot, and the Rebels make Trigger Joe look smart again as they go to number 13, Oklahoma, and win outright as 5.5-point dogs, 34-26. Ole Miss plays South Carolina on Saturday, where they're 12.5-point favorites. At number eight, we got Georgia Tech. The Fighting Kings, Haynes Kings, somehow fall a spot after routing Syracuse 41-16. Show Georgia Tech some love. They've earned it. Tech travels to NC State on Saturday, where they're a 5.5-point favorite. At number nine, we got Vandy. They jump up one spot. It wasn't pretty, but they got it done, beating Mizzou 17-10 on Saturday. Vandy has a showdown with Texas on Saturday at Texas. They are 1.5-point dogs. At number 10, we got Miami. I think they dropped a spot. Honestly, I thought BYU might be here after beating the Cyclones as dogs, but Miami did exactly what we thought they would and smashed Stanford 42-7. They have a shot to look good and have a quality win on the road against SMU Saturday, but they're 12.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that there's no movement in the top six, but I also think that's because they're trying to lock those guys in for the first week of the college football playoff announcement. So that's coming on the 4th. So that'll be next Tuesday that they're going to talk about the inaugural or the initial first 12 going into the playoff. So I think that's part of the reason why they locked those guys this week. And there wasn't a whole lot of movement, even though just about everybody in the top six was off, you know, just about, you know. So I think it was truly just like, hey, it's a signal like, hey, these guys are going to be in the playoff as of today. Right. I would like to see some movement just because I think there's going to be some teams that are going to fall out of that top 12 just based off the rest of the play in the season. But good grief, man. Like, you're going to have at least probably three from the Big Ten and three from the SEC in the initial playoff batch.
Well, imagine Feinbaum trying to explain Vandy in the top 10 getting a playoff spot. I mean, you know, these old guys are going to struggle with that.
Yeah, but they shouldn't, you know, like that game-changing turnaround. Like, you know, we were talking about that in the text thread earlier this week. You know, 2023, they were freaking virtue signaling and like 0-13, you know, and now they're on top of the game. So imagine what you could do with, you know, a couple coaching changes and some NIL athletes, like, God forbid. But moving on, we've got 48 top 25 losses so far, and we'll just do the recap really quick. We talked about Texas A&M whooping LSU, Ole Miss against that was a great game, man. Like, and like I said, you can't count out old Lane Kiffin in the SEC unless he's playing Bama and Georgia back-to-back. He's not going to drop two. Vanderbilt and Missouri was a great game. Like, Memphis fighting back into the top 25 after beating USF. That game was important for them, and I think it was pretty important for everybody else. Surprise of the week, though, I think the biggest surprise was University of Washington bumping off Illinois, and the score in that game is 42-25. I don't think anybody saw that one coming, particularly Illinois. And ASU is definitely going to fall out of top 25 again because they lost to Houston 24-16. That's crazy, man. Like, I just really don't know. You know, ultimately, I think this fratricide is still going to keep coming, right? People are still going to keep getting nicked up, and, you know, we're just over the halfway point, but most teams – this week, if they were going to be bowl eligible early, they're going to be bowl eligible this week. But Yeah, we've got a lot moving on. So the topic this week came from the socials. We did a poll on social media just to see what the topic should be. This one came in at 54.5% of the voting audience. There's only like 12 votes, so thank you for the guys that did. But the reality of it is this is the topic this week. So we're talking about, what is the worst meltdown in college football this season? We have some prime candidates, but we're going to break it down. We'll start with Joe, over to Dan, and then I'll wrap.
Mine has to be Penn State. It has to be Penn State. LSU's is pretty bad, but Penn State was picked to compete for the Big Ten title the preseason. They were picked to make a deep run, and somewhere along the season, I don't know, maybe that locker room stopped believing in themselves, but I'm stunned by it. Like, if you'd have told me that, LSU and Penn State would have interim coaches by week 10, I'd have thought there's no way that happens.
Yeah, for sure.
So, it looked like Northwestern was on their way, but they ended up bouncing back after the Tulane game and said, don't write us off. So, I think it's got to be Penn State in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And in the SEC, it's got to be LSU, given how high of a ceiling they had.
For sure. Dana, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, not to just agree with Joe, but I did this as individuals. So former LSU head coach Brian Kelly definitely gets my award. Starting off like you said, started off the year looking like he was going to run for office after beating Clemson 17-10 on their home turf. Dude is out of a job. He's lost to Ole Miss, Vandy, and Texas A&M. And the craziest thing about it is they could finish 9-3, and we're acting like that is the end of the world. I mean, it's nuts, man. I'm nuts. Yeah. Just crazy. And honorable mentions go to the University of Florida, currently 3-4 with basically losses to all of the good teams on their schedule, along with Arch Manning's Heisman hoopla, which no offense to Arch, but dude, that joint Texas Manning hype machine did not do my man any favors.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. And then I'm going to go a little bit broader as a as an institution. I'm going to say Penn State, right? Because I think the reality of it is I think anybody could say James Franklin is part of this list because he couldn't win big games. But like the AD at Penn State, like, hey, man, like you've got a coach that has lost every high leverage game for the entire time he's been a coach at your program. So if you wanted to move away from the guy, your real opportunity was after the end of the playoffs, right? It's like, hey, man, like, look, you went to the playoffs, you didn't make it. Thank you, but we're going to have to ask you to leave, right? Because you're still going to have to pay the buyout regardless if you fire him at the end of the season or at the beginning, right? So, or even in the middle. So why do that? But, how do you go from a playoff contender to a team at 500 and let alone take any form of championship, not even in the conference, right? And then the other part of it is like, their season is in a trash can right now, right? So they're primed to take two more losses. They got to go to the Ohio State, and then they have to go to Indiana, which is coming to town. And so they got those two teams. They probably will more than likely lose to Nebraska the way that the team is playing. And Rutgers and Michigan State are probably statistically a push. So, at best, if they run the table, they're 8-4, which is not going to happen. More like reality, they're 5-7. How do you go from a playoff contender to a team that looks this bad? And then, the other part of it is, and this goes into the broader discussion, and maybe this will be the topic for next week, but like we could talk about transfer portal bust too, right? So now you've put your quarterback, Drew Aller, his professional career is in jeopardy because he came back because he trusted in his coach to, take them to the national championship. Now he's injured with a career ending injury. It's not even like anything, like he might be so hurt he can't even transfer, right? We don't know, like, I haven't heard anything on his prognosis or whatever, but, his injury gets carted off and, like, yo, man, like, you couldn't write a worse ending to a season for a college football team other than what has happened to Penn State. And it's like I'm watching a movie in real time. It's like, hey, how do we fix this? And I think there's another, and I'll say this, and this kind of ties to what I was talking about at the transfer portal. We're starting to see those meltdowns, too, with guys that have transferred to other schools in the hope that things are going to be better.
Yeah.
And it's like you got a 50-50 shot in today's college football of like coming out on top as a transfer guy. Like rarely, if ever, like I think Will Howard was the only person that made a move up in the transfer portal recently. Quinshon Junkins, he moved up in the transfer portal recently. But a lot of these guys are making lateral moves, and then the question becomes, are these coaches going to make lateral moves? Where does Billy Napier wind up? I've heard everything from Penn State to, Oklahoma State. Like, okay, that's a weird fit, but why would you, you know, why would you hire a coach that, that can't get it done in big games? Because guess what? If you go to the SEC, every game is a big game. Ask Brian Kelly. You know what I mean?
Look at the gauntlet Alabama and Vandy have just played.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Last month. You know,
for sure.
Or Ole Miss, for crying out loud. That was a huge win on Saturday, but yeah, they had just gotten off a road game against Georgia, and then a week before it was against another ranked team at home.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the SEC, though.
Well, but the other part of it is you're not seeing these like massive meltdowns. Well, I mean, you probably could call it and say in the Big 12 that like Colorado's stumbling right now because they got whooped this past weekend. Is that, you know, is that a team thing or is that a coach thing or is that a locker room thing? Because I think, you know, when you look at Deion Sanders as a coach, he's been fairly successful in the, you know, the three seasons that he's been the coach. But at what point, you know, do we start looking at him and saying, okay, he's not getting it done either? Because, you know, shootouts in the Big 12 are pretty common, but if you basically, I think they did get shut out. If you get shut out in the Big 12, there's something wrong because they play no defense, right? So that shows me that there's something going on outside of just, you know, what's going on in the play of the field.
That's one of those transfer portal busts because they were supposed to have their quarterback was supposed to come in and tear it up after Shador. And, you know, he was highly rated in the transfer portal. And just to mention what David Graves said, Trinidad Chambliss did start out. He's from Grand Rapids at Ferris State, and now he's tearing it up for Ole Miss. So I just had to throw that name out there because he's got one of the coolest names. And I don't remember if I've said it on the show this season or not, but I just love seeing a Michigan kid transfer to the SEC, and now he's tearing it up at Ole Miss. So
yeah, I think, but like I said, the meltdowns are 100% real, and I think Penn State notably is. Like if that wasn't on your bingo card, it is now. You know, yeah. I think 5-7 for them is like 6-6 would be a miracle at this point. The way that those guys are playing, and that's sad.
Saying that.
That's sad. Like you know, because like the you know, if you watch the Big Ten, you know that they're like the B tier team. You know, they're always going to be the B plus, but they're never going to get the A. But 6-6, well, man.
That's why they got their coach fired.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I feel like Tennessee is in that same spot. They're a good team. You know, in a tough conference, but at a certain level, it's like, hey, you can put 103,000 people in this bastard. Let's actually win this conference or something.
But you also got to think Tennessee has won a national championship recently, like, you know, within
1999.
Okay. Within the last 30 years. But okay. I think the other part of it is too, though, they've snuck in some quality wins against Alabama and Georgia, right?
For sure. So for sure.
The rest of their season hasn't panned out there. But like, if you look at Penn State by comparison to like you got to beat Michigan, you got to beat Ohio State. Now Indiana is a rising, you know, power in the Big Ten. So you have to beat those dudes. It's like West Virginia struggling right now, right? And the only excuse that they have is like, well, we got a new coach, right? Rich Rod will eventually probably get them to a 10-win season. That's possible. You know, not going to happen this year, but
you got a new coach, but his old coffee mug's still in the office. He knows his way around. He's driven that car before.
Yeah, but you understand what I'm saying? Like at least if you have a massive NIL budget and a massive coaching paycheck, I think that's where it gets into a problem. You know what I mean? Because look, Penn State, you spent all this money poaching Jim Knowles to bring in like the best defensive coordinator in college football, and maybe he was good, but he's not great. And now your team is like in shambles, and I mean it legit is shambles. So you know, but. Speaking of shambles, we have somebody that would not put your next mortgage into the shambles. Mm-hmm. So if you do not mind, Dan, mm-hmm. could you please give us the next read?
Friends, as you know, this show is sponsored by Craig Oxane. He is an area sales manager for the Money Store as a mortgage broker. He is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Friends, Craig is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He did that by offering super competitive rates, by giving super A-plus customer service, and just by being around to answer your questions when you have questions about what is a very confusing process in the mortgage process. And, you know, when you're trying to buy a house, that is not the time to deal with some clown who just wants to make a buck off you, of which there are many, right? You want to deal with somebody who cares, not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website. And this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. And Craig does not charge landing fees for veterans. That's a gigantic savings. That's like $1,300. Guys, save yourself $1,300. So Craig Oxane, area sales rep for The Money Store. Check him out. His link's on our website. You just go to askforfootball.com. He's got a little business card there. So does Jocelyn. Click on either of those things. We'd be talking to either of them in a couple of hours. I'm telling you, it's too easy. Find your house. Get that thing mortgaged for you. That's what we do.
Yeah, thanks, Dano. And you know what? I totally screwed up. I played the wrong sounder, so I'm not going to play the Hold My Beer sounder for this, so it'll save Dan some editing. But let's move on to the
Play the American sounder. You know what? It doesn't even matter. But you can play that American sounder again.
All right. Well, I mean, it's actually pretty cool. It gets me going, too. It's part of the fun. So games this week, we've got Tulane at UTSA, Memphis at Rice, Army at Air Force, Navy at North Texas, UAB at UConn, East Carolina at Temple. Which is the most crucial game of the week, Dano? And I know we want to say Army at Air Force, but, you know, what is the most compelling conference matchup this week?
I mean, Navy at North Texas, because right now Navy is 7-0 and they can't buy a vote in the AP top 25 despite being 7-0 because they've literally played no one. So this is their chance to prove it. They're a 6-point underdog at North Texas. That is a fascinating game. The other interesting game is Tulane at UTSA. If the Roadrunners are ever going to do anything this season, they got to bow up this week. We'll see if they still have any magic left in that stadium in the Alamo Dome. I don't think they've ever lost a conference contest there. So, you know, I don't honestly believe that UTSA could beat Tulane, but we shall see.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting because, again, like UTSA doesn't lose at home. And that's one of the things that's been kind of problematic for them this season, which is surprising. All right, so let's move on to the Week 10 schedule. Guess what, guys? So there are games kicking off in about 90 minutes. So you've got UTEP at Kennesaw State. Hey, watch Kennesaw State. If you're not checking out the Owls, you're missing out on a quality football team. They're solid. You got JMU against Texas State. I don't know. It'll be interesting. We got games on Wednesday. Those will all be in Conference USA. And moving on to Thursday night matchup, Tulane and UTSA, as previously mentioned, as Dano said, Friday, you've got Memphis at Rice. That's going to be a Friday night matchup, so mark that one on your calendar on ESPN2. North Carolina is taking on Syracuse. That should be an interesting game. We'll see if they can continue this upward trend and get over the hump and actually get a win. Moving on to Saturday, early kicks, you've got Navy at North Texas. They're kicking at 12 o'clock on Eastern on ESPN2. Yeah, Penn State at Ohio State. Hey, anybody want to see a dead body? You got Rutgers at Illinois. I think that'll be good. That's on NBC and Peacock. Vandy at Texas. This is going to be like a quarterback duel, and whoever plays the cleanest game is probably going to win. And if I was
a betting man, I can tell you who's going to do that.
Yeah, if I was a betting man, I would go with Diego Pavia's track record rather than Arch Manning. Moving on, you got Army and Air Force. They're kicking at noon. It's going to be a CBS and Paramount Plus. That's actually a 10 o'clock local time. So if you are on the left coast, then you need to be up a little bit early to catch that game. You're going to have to cut your pregame show early to get that one in. East Carolina at Temple is kicking at 2 o'clock. That's kind of a weird time for an afternoon kick for the American. That'll be on ESPN+. Louisville and Virginia Tech is going to be on the CW. Don't know why, but that's the latest trend these days. Moving on, you got Texas Tech and Kansas State. Man, Kansas State coming off of a drubbing of Kansas in the Sunflower Bowl, which has been like the worst rivalry in college sports because I don't even think it's been close. Like it's been 17 wins to nothing. So
yeah, that streak is longer than the streak, which is
that's almost unheard of. That like it's not a rivalry game at that point when one team has that many victories over the other.
So hold on just a second. K-State has got 4 wins. They've got Oklahoma State ahead on the schedule. So they're gonna need one more win besides that to, I don't know, turn their season around, but go to a bowl game and at least salvage some respectability after that dreadful start.
Yeah. But I still think that Avery Johnson's gone, man. That kid's going to freaking bounce to another school. I generally think because he has a better chance of winning just because if I'd be surprised if he stays. If he stays, man, they've got a slick talking coach, and I'll have him do the negotiation for my next car. You've got Notre Dame at Boston College. That's kicking at 3:30 at ESPN. That's an odd time and place for a Notre Dame game because they're typically on Peacock or NBC. You've got Indiana at Maryland. That's, you know, we're just going to see if the trend continues, to be honest, right? You got Georgia versus Florida in Jacksonville. That's going to be on ABC. That's going to be the feature game of the 3:30 time slot. You've got Virginia at California. That's going to be an interesting game, just how close Virginia was with UNC. And, yo, man, Cal's not bad. Like, I watched them. They have a solid squad this season.
Yeah, so, I think they're giving 4.5 points in that game. Cal's 4.5 point home dogs, which I to be honest with you, I wouldn't go anywhere near that line because I could see Cal covering it in a 3 point loss. Big for sure. All day.
For sure. Yeah, Oklahoma State at Kansas. We'll see if they can bounce back. That'll be on the plus. You got Purdue at Michigan. Hey, you're going into the Big House. The travesty of that game is that it's going to be on the Big Ten Network, which is kind of an insult to, you know, those two teams at this point, because like Michigan's ranked. Like they
should
be.
I don't know why it's on at 7 o'clock. I can tell you that.
Yeah, and it should be prime time. It should be a prime. If it's going to be a prime time game, it needs to be at 8 o'clock televised. You know, that's kind of a disservice to both of those teams. You got South Carolina and Ole Miss. Hey, you know, this one could be tricky because South Carolina always has, like, after week 10, they've got some pixie dust in their locker room that always, you know, makes these games way closer than they should be. Look at Alabama, you know.
And Lenora Sellers balled out against Alabama. And if he can find that same game this weekend, he's going to give Ole Miss some problems. Because
yeah, for sure.
He had a couple of home run balls against Alabama. And I was like, dude, this guy doesn't care. He will sling it.
Yeah. And I think that'll be the most interesting part of that contest. It'll be the quarterback play. Hey, man. USC and Nebraska, again, can both of these teams lose? Oklahoma and Tennessee, like,
it's an interesting contest.
Yeah,
I like that one. It's in my picks. Well,
yeah, Oklahoma going into Tennessee is going to be interesting. Like, Mateer needs to heal up. I don't know if he's going to take the time that he needs to truly get healthy. I think he's going to continue to play hurt, and as long as he's continuing to play hurt, that puts Oklahoma's chances in jeopardy.
I have a feeling Tennessee is going to have a little welcome to the SEC party.
Yeah, I think
that's just my feeling on that game.
Yeah, and this one's crazy. This one's right up the road. I might have to check on tickets about this one because you got Georgia Tech at NC State. I may have to drive to Fuquay and check that game out.
You should totally go.
Yeah, that would be awesome. The Fighting Haynes Kings against NC State. Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, the late games, which are really, really weird, but I guess it's because they're playing at Utah. You've got Cincinnati kicking at Utah at 10:15 on ESPN. Like, that's crazy.
It's going to be a fantastic game. Too.
Yeah. And again, it's, you know, thank goodness the Pac-12 After Dark has at least moved to 10 o'clock and they are no longer kicking at midnight because, you know, unfortunately, the football mecca is on the East Coast. Like, that's where a majority of the big college football fans are because the weather's too nice to watch a football. It is. Like, if I'm in L.A., like, why would I stay at home and watch football when it's beautiful, gorgeous sun outside? You know, but is what it is. Moving on. We have some work to do, make some picks, and we are giving you our
weekly locks.
Who are we picking? Dano, Joe, and then I'll finish it up.
I am slowly digging myself out of that deep ass hole that I got myself into at the start of the season. So I'm now at -2 on the season, up from like -6. Ole Miss and Kansas State both covered and actually won outright last week. Temple, though, really struggled against an obviously hungry team from Tulsa, so I went 2-1. Hey, let's just keep that going. You know what I'm saying? So I took Tulane at UTSA under 55.5. These are two heavy rushing teams with decent rushing defenses. You know, the Green Wave, they want to win, but they'll be more than happy to sneak out of there with a 1-point victory. They do not care. And that's fine. That's fine. I took Syracuse -2 hosting UNC. I feel like North Carolina peaked last week. Like, you're not going to fool me into thinking that that's a real football team just because they kept it close with Virginia. I mean, come on, Virginia, guys, Virginia. And finally, Navy at North Texas over 65.5. Probably going to regret it because that's an insane total. But both of these teams go over damn near every time they play. And the Mids have not faced an offense that's half as good as what this Mean Green can put on the field. And, dude, they have given up some points. So, yeah, give me – if this game doesn't hit 70, hell, North Texas might drop 70. I mean, it's just going to be a track meet. Totally.
Yeah. I would say they could have put that over at like 73. It probably would still hit for sure. Joe, how about you?
I went 3-0 again this week, thanks to Cincy handling Baylor, Ole Miss winning at Oklahoma, and BYU winning outright at Iowa State. It would have been a pretty sweet parlay to take Ole Miss and BYU and Cincy Moneyline, but in the last 4 weeks, I am 10-2 on my picks, so I'm going to roll 3 more because even in this current hot streak, Daniel will not give me a 4th pick. Can you believe that? Yeah, we're going to go with Tennessee minus 3.5 at home against Oklahoma. I think that they're going to have a welcome to the SEC party. And, I didn't believe that they should have been favored over Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and they proved me right. I think that Tennessee wins this game by more than a touchdown. I like Joey Aguilar to out-duel John Mattier after that. I think that Alabama game still is leaving a chip on Tennessee's shoulder. You know, they took it out on Kentucky, but this is the next ranked opponent at home, and I think they're going to handle business. So then Minnesota minus 3.5 versus Michigan State. I saw what this Michigan State team has, and it ain't much. And Minnesota just knocked off Nebraska as 6.5-point dogs. PJ Fleck has those guys playing for something. So I think they win that game in a 24-17 fashion, but they handle Michigan State. And then Wake Forest, those guys do not quit. I love watching them play. They won another against SMU on a last-second field goal this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. I think they won 13-12. I get that. I feel like you're looking at a score, but they're getting 9.5 points at FSU. And they're the better. I mean, they have the better season going for them. I think you want to give me 9.5 points because I'm in Tallahassee. Okay, I think Wake Forest keeps it a one score game all night. So give me Wake Forest to cover that 9.5, and I think they could possibly go in there and sneak out with a W.
For sure. All right. So really quick, I'm going to run down the standings. Just the top three. Trigger Joe is number one.
Hey. We got
Omar is at second place, and Dave Graves is holding down the number three spot. So if you are in the Firsty Club, those are the three guys that you should follow their picks. So
Omar, for a guy whose wife just had a baby, has been on fire with his picks.
Yeah, he's killing it. He is killing
Omar,
it.
Omar, Irish twins, have another baby soon.
Yeah, I think the only week that everybody really got rolled up pretty bad was week five. I think everybody did fairly poorly on that one. Dano, you and I are tied in the number seven spot because we've both been on our way clawing out of the hole that we dug ourselves in the beginning of the season.
Just let me get above 500 and I'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, 500 at the end of the season, I'll be happy with. Oh, yeah. So I went 2-1 this week. Ole Miss took out the Sooners. That wasn't a surprise. Kent State won outright. I thought Syracuse would keep it closer than 17.5. I guess somebody freaking read that stat line to Georgia Tech, and they said, no, thank you, sir, and put a beating on them. But, you know, the way that Haynes King played in that, I'll wear that L with pride, you know, because they played their butts off for that one. This week, take Kennesaw State to cover UTEP, 9.5. I think that's going to happen. Kennesaw State is a really good team. The Miners are not that good. I don't know who came up with this stat line, but I think it's probably going to be a 28-10. Maybe 35-13 kind of game. Take Buffalo to cover 2.5 against Bowling Green. Hey, 2 weeks in a row I went against Bowling Green. Nothing against Eddie George. I just have watched his team play. They are very undisciplined, and they will take points and yards off the board because of penalties, and that's usually what typically leads them to cause the negative outcome for their program. And then the last one, I have no idea why the stat line is plus 2.5 for Vandy at Texas this week, man. Like I've watched Diego Pavia play. I've watched Arch Manning play. Arch Manning is going to be good next year and probably his senior season. Diego Pavia is good today. In that quarterback duel, I will put my money on Diego Pavia. You know, he's significantly better in high impact games. Like, you know, my note in the outline is Arch needs a microwave, but he's in a slow cooker. So Vandy by 10. And that's my final pick. I think they'll take 2.5. Easy cover plus 2 point, 2.5 at Texas. Hey, we're at the end of the show. Holy smokes, man. Fast week this week. Good show this week. And guess what? We've got Army versus Air Force this weekend. Again, we got college football kicking off in about an hour and a half. So we'll get out of your way. But if you're not watching Conference USA on weekday, get ready because things are getting better. The playoff committee puts out their first standings next Tuesday. So after this show ends next Tuesday, you should be able to jump on ESPN and see who is in the initial top 12. We're at the getting ready to hit the deepest part of the season. Teams will be bowl eligible, those that have had all their bye weeks and everything else knocked out of the way. And then if you are hoping with bated breath, as Dano would say, if your team lost, it's because you didn't cheer loud enough and you're not wearing your lucky t-shirt and or socks. So go pull those things out of the closet or whatever you got to do to root for your team in the stretch. But for the crew here at the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable, or if you want to call us, just Ring Knocker Radio, I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe is calling to you from the home of the Big House. We thank you guys for checking us out this week. Grab your merch at the AFF store. If you haven't seen that, go to the askfootball.com. Click on the little tab. It'll take you right to our store, and you can get some gear. Get a coffee cup. Get a long sleeve shirt. Look cool like the rest of your friends. Peer pressure is a thing. And as always, beat Air Force.
Beat them.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extra. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.